Grace, mercy, and peace to you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Dearly beloved, you certainly did a fine and commendable job of singing that poem. You say, poem? What poem? I didn't do poems in high school, and I don't do them now. Well, what we all just sang was a poem set to music, which I suppose is part of the definition of a hymn. So, as I said, good job singing that poem. Today's sermon is based on Acts 2, 38, and 39, and the structure, outline, and flow of today's sermon is a poem written by Reverend George Herbert, a pastor who lived from 1593 to 1633. That poem, titled Holy Baptism, is on the back of your bulletins, and you're invited to follow along during the sermon. As for now, please listen to our sermon text, Acts 2, 38, and 39, doing so under the theme that you and I are baptized for the forgiveness of sins. And Peter said to them, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is to you and to your children, and to all that are far off, everyone whom the Lord our God calls to him." Thus far the word of the Lord our God. Now, take a look at that poem. It reflected our sermon text. As it was being read, and as we pondered the truths within it, please listen to how it applies to you. We begin with the title, Holy Baptism. And with that we know that it is from God, and comes down to us from above. Indeed, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, and comes down from the Father of lights. From light above to the darkness here below, and that is where we are. Thus, the first line begins, "As he that sees a dark and shady grove." Imagine that you are in a dark, but not pitch black forest, a shady, dark grove. There is just enough light to cast shadows. Do you not see the shapes, some big and monstrous that tower over you and threaten to consume you, others from shadows of unseen vultures waiting silently on ebony limbs? Ah, but you have your own images that haunt your dark place, don't you? You have yours, I have mine. If you are in such a place, what do your eyes seek? Where are they directed? Where do you look? Ah, he that sees a dark and shady grove stays not, but looks beyond it on the sky. Your eyes do not stay with the dark surroundings where there is no hope of life and only the promise of death. You lift up your eyes unto the hills from which your help comes. Your eyes look beyond the deadly nightshade, and up unto the sky where there is the light and the promise of a dawning new day. Here down below is only death and despair. Up there is life and hope. Now the poet writes of what this was likened to. So when I view my sins, mine eyes remove, more backward still, to that water fly. My sins are many, and they are conceived within my heart. There they grow in my thoughts, spill forth from my mouth, and are acted out. I have mine, you have yours. I am submersed in them, and there is only the darkness of eternal death for me in this fallen world. I think back, and know that there are transgressions from my earliest nights. But my eyes go back in time, and I behold my only hope, the water combined with God's word when applied to me in holy baptism. That washing gives me the light from above and eternal life. I was baptized at a certain point in time past. So were you. That is the application of the gift to me. So also to you. It was the application of the truth from above, brought to you and me in time and at a certain place. The poet writes about that particular water, specifically its source. More backward still, and to that water fly, which is above the heavens, whose spring and rent is in my dear Redeemer's pierced side. The source of this spring is the Savior of the world. The water of holy baptism pours forth from a spot where a Roman spear was thrust into the side of a Jewish man who is the eternal Son of God. The crucified Christ suffered for all sins of all people of all times and made the perfect sacrifice for all. And if he did it for all, he did it for you and for me. On the cross, God shed his blood and died. Jesus is the Redeemer, the one who bought us back, and we are blessed by the outpouring from his pierced side. So, we have covered what holy baptism is and where it is from. Now we are led into what it offers and gives. O blessed streams, either ye do prevent and stop our sins from growing thick and wide, or else give tears to drown them as they grow. Here we are presented with two of the blessings that holy baptism does or works. It is able to prevent sins from metastasizing the soul by calling to repentance and following Christ. Thus, the sacrament known as the washing of regeneration, or as sins dog the soul and plague the spirit, the tears of sorrow speak of the blessed streams and encourage the soul to remember that this washing is for the forgiveness of sins. As a result, the soul may rejoice, for where there is forgiveness of sins, there is also eternal life and salvation. This is now all about your baptism, dear soul. With this in mind, please listen and ponder the next two lines. In you, redemption measures all my time and spreads the plaster equal to the crime. Here we have come to the time and nature of your sins and mine. If you are baptized, then there was a specific point in time when it took place. It may have been that you were given the gift of holy baptism as an infant or as an adult. Let's say it was when you were 42 years old, and that it took place 20 years ago. Your baptism takes care of all your sins for those first 42 years. But there's more. It also covers the last 20 years since you were washed with water and the Word. The redemption that Jesus won and that the Holy Spirit gives measures all your time. In baptism, Christ's redemption spreads the plaster equal to the crime. So there is forgiveness for all your sins, no matter how many. The same is true regarding the magnitude of them. All are forgiven, and all is forgiven. In baptism, you get plastered. You're covered. You taught the Book of Life my name, that so... Dear Christian, when you were baptized, your name entered into the Book of Life. If you are baptized, then the Lamb's baptism taught the Lord's Book of Life your name, which is written therein. The ink used is the blood of God shed for the remission of all sins, and the page on which your name is written bears the watermark of the holy baptism. Recall this watermark as we will sing it later. All newborn soldiers of the crucified bear on their brows the seal of him who died. But wait, there's more forgiveness awaiting you. You recall the man who was baptized at 42, and that was 20 years ago? All of his sins for 62 years are covered or plastered. But what of his future sins? Say he lives another 10 years. Please listen as the poet preaches the gospel to us. Whatever future sins should me miscall, your first acquaintance might discredit all. Your first acquaintance is the moment of your baptism. For me, that was April 13, 1947. I have my date, you have yours. Thus we may delight in that line which addresses our baptism, in you redemption measures all my time. In your baptism, redemption measures all your time, from the moment of your conception in your mother's womb to the instant you depart time and enter eternity. God's redemption in Christ measures all your time. And this is not just for you, but is intended for all. Thus Peter said in our sermon text, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is to you and to your children, and to all that are far off, everyone whom the Lord our God calls to him." One often hears someone say, "I was baptized." It is not wrong to say this, but there's a better way. Our beloved Pastor Gegelein told us about it a few weeks ago at the end of his sermon. Do you recall it? He said, "It's best to say, I am baptized." This means that there was a time and place in history when and where you were first acquainted with holy baptism, and the blessings and benefits haven't ceased since then. They will be yours throughout this life, for it is most certainly true that in holy baptism you live under the gracious word of God, and you are forgiven of all your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, now and forever. Amen.